You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to another new episode of Locked On Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose of Sports Talk 790. Today's show is brought to you courtesy of our sponsors at BetDSI.com. If you love the NBA and you're ready to get on the action, check out BetDSI.com, use our promo code ROCKETS10, and get $10 free to try their service. So as we chat on this Sunday morning, it's been yet another wildly successful weekend for the Rockets. They're now 21-7. They've won their last 10 games in a row. Two big wins, a rout of the Pelicans on Friday night at Toyota Center, then followed it up with a two-point win in overtime at Minnesota last night. That game, I would say, as fulfilling as any they've had all year. They were down 9 points with under a minute left, down 12 points with 2 minutes left, and the Rockets found some way to get this thing to overtime and then make the big shots. Anderson, Ariza in the last, 40 seconds of regulation had big threes. Harden and Gordon each had one in overtime, so it was definitely a team effort for the Rockets to come back and get that win. And again, this was the prototype culture win, and that the Rockets, they, no matter how bad it looked, they expected to find a way to get it done. Whereas Minnesota, a young team that's talented but has not gotten the results yet, you could tell that when, you know, as the snowball, it was a snowball effect. Once things started rolling, it got out of control for them very quickly. They made some uncharacteristic turnovers. The big thing for the Rockets was just continuing to believe. We heard after the game that Harden told Ryan Anderson with 2 minutes left, when they were down 12, that they were going to win this game. The one thing that stood out to me above all else when I was watching this game, when the Rockets came out of the timeout with 37 seconds left in the fourth, and they were down 6 at the time, of course, D'Antoni talked to them for the two and a half minutes of the timeout. Then we actually saw Harden and Gordon talking to each other for about 10 seconds. They're actually covering their mouths because they didn't want anyone to read their lips or whatever. But that, to me, was the sign of an engaged team. If you watch enough basketball, you'll see in that situation, 9 out of 10 teams, yeah, sure, they'll listen to the coach, but they know it's just going to come down to whether they can throw in a three. And that wasn't what we saw out of the Rockets. The Rockets were a team that they went out there with a plan, and they executed it. I don't know if it's what Gordon told Harden, but Harden was double-teamed immediately when he got the ball and tried to make a move to the middle. Karl-Anthony Towns came over, and with Ryan Anderson playing as your small ball center, that left him open from behind the arc. He hit the three, and he did it so quickly that the Rockets did not even have to foul, which that was the real game changer. When they were able to get a three and do it with about 33 seconds so they didn't even have to foul, that was when you said, oh man, they are going to get a real shot. And then, of course, after they got the steal, Trevor Ariza made the shot, sent it to overtime, and at that point, you knew the Rockets were in pretty good shape based on the psychological hold they had over the Timberwolves at that time. And that's one thing that I do think is an important element to all this. Before we get to breaking down the individual players led by Ryan Anderson's 28 points, I think there's a psychological effect that we've seen a lot in these recent games based on the high volume of threes the Rockets take and make. As we've seen, the Rockets set the all-time record Friday night against the Pelicans for team threes in the game. We have never seen, I mean, this is historic stuff, a team shoot this many threes, make this many threes. And I think a lot of the times for the Rockets, as Harden said after the game, it always keeps them believing that they are in a game because they can make up points so quickly. And the flip side for an opponent, it can overwhelm them. It's either a situation like the Lakers, Kings, or Pelicans where you hit a few of those early and there's kind of a pack it in effect. Or in this game, all of a sudden you make a few and it feels like that you are never able to put them away, and then you get tight. But the Rockets' ability to put up points so quickly due to having so many shooters, specifically Ryan Anderson and Eric Gordon, we've never seen a team take and make this many threes before. It's historic. And maybe over time the league will get used to it. But right now I do think there's a psychological effect that we're seeing each and every game especially against lesser opponents. Now, of course, when the Rockets play really, really good teams, the Warriors, the Thunder, they're going to play the Spurs on Tuesday, they have to go out and execute themselves. But when you play against so-called lesser teams, when you have that, you know, we might as well call it psychological warfare in an NBA sense, in your arsenal, it's a powerful thing. And we've seen it happen a lot over the past week as the Rockets have gone up against teams who, you know, certainly they scrap, they fight, but teams like the Lakers, Kings, Pelicans, Timberwolves that they should beat. And if things get a little sticky, hitting a couple of those threes goes a long way towards establishing the culture that the Rockets want, as well as demoralizing the opponent a little bit. Now, why was this game against the Timberwolves close, you might ask? Because, well, the Timberwolves are 7-19 now, not a playoff team by any stretch of the imagination right now. Well, they do hit the Rockets at their weakest part, which is interior D. Karl-Anthony Towns, 41 points, 15 rebounds. He was an absolute monster, and whatever chance the Rockets had to defend him was probably Clint Capella, and Capella basically did not even play in the second half in overtime, only 15 minutes before he left with a bruised leg, collision with Towns. He says he's fine. He tweeted that after the game, and you have to hope he is, because certainly the Spurs have a lot of bigs inside, and you could use Capella's length. But this has not been the best month for Capella, so I'm not even going to sit here and say that, well, if Capella was healthy, maybe the Rockets don't get in that hole. But he gives you your best chance. Certainly, he had a great stretch in late November against the likes of Andre Drummond, Jonas Valanciunas, Rudy Gobert, some of your better big men. He's regressed a little bit in December, but the other alternatives you don't that you have on the roster right now, Nene, Montrezl Harrell, they don't give you the well-rounded game that Capella has the potential to. With Nene, yes, he's better in a half-court setting, but against athletes, he's not really that effective, and his defense is questionable, period. Montrezl Harrell, he gives you a ton of energy offensively. He's a great role man. He can switch on defense, but he's undersized, and his instincts, he's still a little bit raw. So both of them have clear drawbacks. Capella gives you the most potential to match up with someone like a Karl-Anthony Towns. And with him not out there, well, it just did not happen for the Rockets in this game. Towns was able to go off. One thing I do give a lot of credit to Mike D'Antoni for is going small with Ryan Anderson as your center. Because really, with Nene in there, with Montrezl Harrell, neither was that effective. So if your center options are not that effective, both of those two weren't playing well, Capella was out injured, why don't you have to play a center? One of the themes that I've talked about throughout this Rockets season, and it started with Matt Moore of CBS Sports. He came on this show a couple of months ago and talked about, you know, the good to great philosophy of management. And how by bringing in Mike D'Antoni, Eric Gordon, Ryan Anderson, what the Rockets were essentially trying to do is make the good element of their team, their offense, great. And the good to great strategy, it's basically saying that for an organization, if you want to be great, the first thing you should do is try to be great in the thing that you know you can execute. So that's what the Rockets have done offensively, and that's kind of what I thought down the stretch of this game, because when the Rockets were sitting on 76 points with only, what, 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter, that's not Rockets basketball. Rockets basketball is pushing the pace, scoring. The Timberwolves, they had a lot of young athletes. They've got Karl-Anthony Towns inside. They were able to get the Rockets out of their comfort zone and basically turn it into a defensive game. And when that happened, the Rockets needed an answer, and I don't know if you can play Ryan Anderson at center most nights. Certainly, it's not something that I think Mike D'Antoni is planning on. But I think it was a good example of how you put Anderson at center, Ariza as your small ball four, and then you play Harden, Gordon, and Beverly as your basically three-man backcourt all together. It's an example of saying, you know what? I don't know what's going to happen on the defensive end of the floor, but offensively, we need to get back to who we are. And when they did that, the spacing was as such that even with the Timberwolves' athleticism, when every position on the floor can shoot from behind the arc and you have Harden and Gordon's ability to penetrate, something's got to give. You finally did have a lot of threes start opening up in the last couple of minutes of regulation and in overtime, and because of that, the Rockets were able to grind out a win. But yeah, it goes back to that good to great thing. Yeah, there's a defensive drop-off, but they were a great offensive team, and even in a game when they weren't making their shots and nothing was going down. And so I give Mike D'Antoni a lot of credit for recognizing where they were, and rather than just stubbornly saying, well, we've got to have a center and butting his head against a wall, saying, you know what, Karl-Anthony Towns, he's that good of a player, maybe we need to do something unconventional, and the unconventional thing worked. Now I'm going to get back to the individual breakdowns in just a moment. For now, I do want to take a moment to acknowledge our sponsors at BetDSI.com. As I said earlier, if you love the NBA, they are a great place to get in on the action, especially if you want to start betting on some of these games and making some money because, well, those people that have been betting on the Rockets in December, well, they've made a lot of money. Rockets now 10-0 and they've covered the spread in most of those games. BetDSI.com, if you're looking to bet, it's one of the more stable sites out there. They've been in business for over 20 years, top rated, very safe, excellent customer service, very fast and easy payments for your winnings. Right now, BetDSI.com has a fantastic NBA special. If you sign up today with the promo code ROCKETS10, you get $10 free to try their service. From there, they also give you a 100% bonus on your first deposit if you choose to continue playing. Right now, they've got hundreds of football and basketball wagers to choose from. There's live in-game wagering, and you can even get odds on stuff like UFC fights. Really, you can play just about anything at BetDSI.com. So if you haven't, please go there now. That's BetDSI.com and use that promotion code ROCKETS10 to get your free $10 wager and you can start winning today. Or, well, as soon as Tuesday if you want to bet on the Rockets because that's when they're back in action against the San Antonio Spurs. So jumping back into the big win over the Timberwolves, 111-109 in overtime, huge comeback for the Rockets, down 9 with under a minute to go, and somehow they were able to extend this game to overtime and get the win. The obvious individual standout was Ryan Anderson, 28 points, 6 rebounds, 9 of 19 from the field. What's amazing, he had 19 field goal attempts, 16 of them were from behind the arc. So that tells you a lot about who Ryan Anderson is these days. But it's big. The thing with Ryan is that, yes, his performance is going to be very up and down because if you shoot that many threes, well, you're going to have games when you're hot and you're going to have games when you're not. But the key for Ryan, it's a cumulative kind of psychological effect. And as long as his streakiness is not too pronounced, as long as he doesn't go 5 or 6 consecutive games cold, the good thing is that a game like this, it carries over into the next couple of games because you know damn well that Greg Popovich is going to pop on the film of this game and he's going to see what Anderson did for this offense, especially late in the game, and he's going to adjust. So with Anderson, I think there's a cumulative effect of even if he's cold for a given night, at the same time, as long as he reminds teams from time to time that this is what he's capable of doing offensively, it gives the Rockets what they're paying for from him, which is the threat of space. The fact that you can put someone at the power forward spot who can play out to 27, 28 feet, and you better respect him all the way out there, and by doing so, of course, give James Harden, Eric Gordon more space to drive, because if you don't, Anderson's fully capable of making those threes and doing what he did to Karl-Anthony Towns late in this game. So for Ryan, yes, it's great to see him make shots, but I don't get too up or down on his performance from game to game because we all know there's going to be a lot of variability. Some nights he's hot, some nights he's going to be cold. That's life for the shooter. Key thing is that he has at least some nights like he did Saturday night just to make opposing defenses respect him because at the end of the day, more than shots in a given game, what the Rockets are wanting out of Ryan Anderson is to command respect from the defense, to drag them out. And Saturday is a big step in getting, the tougher teams on the Rockets docket over the next week, the likes of the Spurs and Grizzlies, to have to match up with him, even if he's standing 27, 28 feet from the basket. Now, besides Ryan, James Harden, another strong game, 28 points, 13 assists, 9 rebounds, did have 7 turnovers. The key for James, I thought this was a game where you could see, he was a little fatigued. It felt a bit like the Denver game. Now, it wasn't 4 and 5 nights, but this was the 6th game in 9 nights for the Rockets. They did not get to their hotel until after 1 a.m. because they had to fly right from Houston to Minneapolis after Friday night's game against New Orleans. And so, yes, 11 of Harden's 20 shots were from behind the arc. And that's when you start seeing, a little bit more tired James, because if James doesn't have his usual lift, he tends to play a little bit more for those longer range shots rather than drive it hard. However, when it mattered late in the game, we did see Harden attack. It was his attacking to the rim that or the threat of him doing that, that freed up Ryan Anderson for the three late in regulation. He did attack the rim for a key bucket in overtime. So when it mattered, when they needed to make plays, and we heard Harden's swagger, you know, basically telling Ryan Anderson with 2 minutes left that we were still going to win this game, he was able to make the plays that he had to make late. And then Eric Gordon, 20 points, 7 of 15 from the field, 4 of 10 from 3. Actually, 4 assists from Eric Gordon stood out a lot. You know, you look at some of these games recently, he had 1 assist, 1 rebound. Starting Eddie, he had 6 rebounds and 4 assists, so a little bit more well-rounded from him. So for starters, it's amazing to see Gordon continue to make more threes. There was a stat earlier in the day on Saturday that Harden and Gordon had more threes combined than Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. Chinonu Anuaku actually retweeted that, which was pretty awesome. But yeah, I mean, this is historic levels of three-point shooting, and I know the Rockets shoot at a high volume, but if it was as simple as, well, just shoot a high volume and you're going to make that many threes, well, more teams would do it because, yes, it is very effective. Fact is, most teams, especially at volume, can't make this high volume that we're seeing out of guys like Eric Gordon. So to see him continue to make 4-plus threes a night, it seems like you can take that to the bank right now. It's pretty incredible. The other reason why I wanted to point out the rebounds and assists, there's a reason that the Timberwolves were so successful defensively in this game. And the upside, I don't think that many teams in the NBA are capable of doing it. But first off, Tom Thibodeau is a good defensive coach. But beyond that, the Timberwolves, they have a pretty unique combination of long athletes on the perimeter and rim protection inside. Because on the perimeter, you've got Rubio, LaVine, Andrew Wiggins, those are all very long, rangy players, and I thought they did a very good job of closing out hard on everything. You could see their strategy was to chase the Rockets off the line, and by and large, they did that. And then you look inside, they've got Dang, they've got Karl-Anthony Towns, so they have a couple of long athletes that are capable of occupying space at the rim, had 6 blocks combined as a team on Saturday night. So it was one of those things where they're long enough and committed enough to chase you off the line, yet they also have some rim protection. So what that means is, you know, nothing's easy. The Rockets couldn't shoot threes at their normal volume, but they also didn't have an open lane to the basket. And besides having an open lane, I think fatigue played an issue there too, because this was not a game where the Rockets wanted to necessarily attack for 48 minutes the way they would in a lot of others. But what do you need to do when you get in one of those situations? Well, the key is ball movement because, well, you can't get your normal threes and you can't get your layups, at least not initially. So the key to do it, you need guys like Eric Gordon. They can't just be set shooters the way you can against a lot of teams. So you've got to be willing to basically swing the ball, fake the shot, go inside, try and draw somebody else, keep that ball moving, and eventually collapse the defense with ball movement because the Timberwolves are a trickier matchup. You're not going to have teams like that every night, certainly, but for this game, it was rough. They kept the Rockets at a below-average output for them offensively, so it took a much more team perspective for the Rockets to get the points they needed, but to their credit, they did. Gordon had 4 assists. Sam Dekker had 4 assists and 4 rebounds in his 17 minutes. Pat Beverly had 4 assists. Harden, of course, had 13. So those are 4 guys with 4 or more assists, and it speaks to the type of ball movement that they had, especially in the second half when the Rockets were finally able to claw their way out of the hole and then get the win in overtime. So looking ahead for the Rockets before we close out this podcast, of course, they're now winners of 10 in a row, 21-7 overall, on a pace to win more than 61 games now, which is just astounding. And I saw some people, including Zach Harper on Twitter, saying, well, the Rockets are a little smoke and mirrors. Are they really a 62-win team? I don't know, but in the NBA, your record is what the standings show. And right now, the Rockets are doing a great job of banking wins. Are they really going to win 60-plus? I'm not sure. You can say, other than the Pat Beverly issue early in the year, they've been relatively healthy. But it's important for the Rockets to bank wins. We knew coming out of that road trip, after that 5-game trip that concluded in Golden State and Denver, the Rockets were going to have a softer schedule for the next couple of weeks. And to the Rockets' credit, they haven't just done well. They have done phenomenally, taking every single game in that stretch. So you are what your record says you are. And for the Rockets, right now, they're 21-7, winners of 10 in a row. And all these wins that they're putting together right now, these culture wins, they're going to pay off big later in the year if there is an injury. And when we look at this next week, I do think injury is going to be a key theme. We know Clint Capela says he's fine after bruising his leg in the collision with Karl-Anthony Towns Saturday night. However, he did not return, so it is fair to have some questions. And Rockets, well, it's going to be a tough week. You play the Spurs on Tuesday, the Grizzlies on Friday. Those are very physical, very big teams. You look a little bit ahead. You have the Clippers coming here on the 30th. These are games that you're going to need Clint Capela. So you hope that maybe the schedule finally easing up. They've had six games in the past 9 nights. Now they have basically 3 days off before San Antonio. So you do have an ability to rest up, get healthy, hopefully. Maybe for San Antonio in particular, if you go back to the preseason and the two matchups in November and the regular season, those were matchups where Nene played pretty well. It's a half-court team, especially against Pau Gasol, who's not very good defensively. That's kind of a matchup where you can see Nene having some success on the low block. So maybe that will help to lower Capela's minutes. But certainly, I would say in the weeks ahead, when you go up against teams like the Grizzlies and Clippers with Marc Gasol and DeAndre Jordan, you're going to need everybody you have. It's certainly not a strength for the Rockets. Interior defense, we saw it. It's not just Karl-Anthony Towns going for 41 and 15. We saw what Brooke Lopez did earlier last week. So it is a weakness, but the best opportunity the Rockets have to counter that is for Clint Capela to continue to develop. Hasn't been the best month for him, but really we're only about 3 weeks removed from his stretch in late November when he was playing close to 35 minutes a night and just steamrolling some of the better centers in the NBA. So he's going to be up and down, but again, we have seen the ups, and he is your best chance, even with him struggling a little bit, to give you some sort of resistance. And in his credit, he did play relatively well before his injury Saturday night, played 15 minutes, 5 of 5 from the field, 10 points, 4 rebounds. I think he'll take that any day because, well, if Karl-Anthony Towns is going to score that much on one end, the least you can do is try to hold him accountable on the other end and even it out. And when Capela played, largely in the first half, of course, he was able to do that. So maybe it's a promising sign, but biggest picture for him, just get healthy. And hopefully by Tuesday night, again, the Rockets are basically going to have 72 hours off before playing again. Hopefully that gives him an opportunity to do that, and he'll be able to rest up in Houston and at the Toyota Center facilities because, well, Rockets got back early Sunday morning, and we don't really have to go anywhere because Tuesday night's game is at Toyota Center as well. And on that note, I will wrap up. I hope to see some of you guys out there Tuesday night. It's going to be a big game. If you haven't got tickets, please look at your secondary market sources. It's going to be a fun atmosphere. I think it's televised nationally on NBA TV. And really, the Rockets right now at 21-7, they're not just the third seed in the West. They're really close to the Spurs for number two. So if you win that game, you can be within striking distance within a game of potentially being the number two seed in the West by Christmas. So at this point, you are what your record says you are. Rockets are a three seed and really close to being a two. And they can take one more enormous step in that direction if they're able to take care of business against the Spurs Tuesday night. So hopefully I will see a lot of you guys out there. Just look for me on Media Row. I'm Ben Dubose with Sports Talk 790. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Dubose. This is Locked On Rockets. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Rockets. Or you can always email us at lockedonrockets@gmail.com if you've got questions for me about the team. Or if you would like to inquire about potentially becoming a sponsor of this program, just as betdsi.com was today. Remember, if you sign up today with the promo code ROCKETS10, you get $10 free to try their service at BetDSI.com. That's our sponsor of today's episode and the people responsible for bringing it to you. So on that positive note, I will leave off and start getting ready to watch the Texans on Sunday. Hopefully they're able to pull out another win as well. If they are, check it out on Lockdown Texans. That's our sister podcast on this Lockdown Podcast Network. Hosted by Robert Land, you can find them same places you can find us. Audio Boom, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Just search Locked On Rockets, search Locked On Texans. You can find any content for your Houston sports teams. We'll be there for you guys on a daily basis. For now, I'll get ready to enjoy that game and enjoy the rest of my Sunday. I hope you guys do as well. Again, Rockets, big winners 111-109 over the Timberwolves on Saturday evening. They've now won 10 in a row and are 21-7 overall. Enjoy it, and I'll be talking with you again over the next 2 days as they get ready for the Spurs.